It's in Jesus' name, amen. Before you're seated, I'd like you to turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. I didn't give you the scripture, but it's in the Bible someplace. I'm almost positive. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation, no verdict, no sentence, no guilt to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There are so many people after we get saved stick their finger in our face and say, well, you know, you're going beyond what you have to do. You know, these things aren't important. How can somebody preempt God's word and say God doesn't require it when he has already written it down? And then if you'll turn to Galatians, the 6th chapter. Starting in verse number 11, you know, Paul had problems just like everybody else. Amen. Anybody in here need glasses? Contact lenses? LASIK surgery? You know, it's because you're not living for God, folks. It says in verse 11, see, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. So apparently, he needed glasses. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. In other words, listen, they want to water this thing down so they're not persecuted. Lots of people have. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. You better do this, but I don't have to do that. But desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. I ought to become a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. It was a shadow and type of our baptism in the New Testament. And so do we go back to the old ways of the Old Testament in order to appease somebody who likes it back there? And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of our God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. A recognition of ownership. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word. Your people, open our ears, open our minds, allow your spirit to quicken it. It's in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here Paul was saying, don't trouble me with the misguided ideas of circumcision, trying to pervert the gospel of Christ, like it says in the first chapter, I marvel that you've soon been changed to another gospel, which is not another gospel at all. Those who compel you to be circumcised want to be regarded as somebody, to take you back to the old ways, to the old traditions. And how many of us, when we came into this new way, somebody tried to take us back to the old traditions, you know. We don't have to do those things. But the real reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Just conform to the old doctrine, the Jewish doctrine. We'd rather live in the Old Testament than cross over into the New Testament. And so many churches are still living in the Old Testament, dressing in the old priestly robes. But verse number 15 says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." He's saying, don't try to cause me trouble. I've been persecuted for this truth. I have defended it. I have fought a good fight, and you're not going to change my mind. You're not going to give me any trouble at this point in my life. I've gone through enough in order to stand for truth, for I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. You know, anyone who will stand for truth will bear the marks of Jesus. Sound familiar? You know, we want to come into church and just have everything perfect, no problems at all with others, but we wake up on that following morning after getting the Holy Ghost and we recognize, whoa, the whole world hasn't been changed, just me. It's not surprising that not all Christians want the full truth, because with truth comes some form of persecution, maybe some marks. Most Christians don't believe that baptism is necessary, just conform to the norm of, well, many of us came out of a church that just didn't understand it. So turn to Colossians, the second chapter. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 10. "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and powers, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." So what was important in the Old Testament is no longer important in the New Testament, but instead of circumcision, we have baptism, which does the same thing. It cuts us off from our sins. "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, the law that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." So baptism is like a circumcision, cutting off sin in our life and nailing it to the cross. There's no longer a sentence on us for what we have done in the past. But if you want the old ways, and you don't get the new creature, you see. And then Colossians 1 and verse 23, it says, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." So, you know what? If you continue, there's going to be some conflict. Don't think it's strange. Don't think, why is this happening to me? God, I've been trying to live the best. Yes, you have. But nevertheless, those who will live for God are going to have some persecution, some afflictions, the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. In other words, I've gone through some afflictions because I've stood for truth. You can back away from truth. You can say this is no longer important. Most likely some of those conflicts will end. Paul said, "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." The word marks in the Greek means incision, puncture or scar of service, maybe we have been crucified for Christ. And we have the marks in our body to show that we've gone through some things. There's been some trauma in my life. Hallelujah. Nobody is unscathed or unmarked if they're going to live for God. Can somebody give me an amen on that? And anybody have a little bit of conflict because, you know, your family didn't understand it, your friends didn't understand, the people at work, they just didn't understand it because they haven't had the same experience that we've had. According to the National Institute of Health, people spend, listen to this, $20 billion per year in the United States to remove scars. $20 billion to get rid of scars that, well, there must have been a traumatic event in their life. I'm sure Brother Portman's going to have a few scars when he comes out of this whole thing, you know. And some of you have a few scars because of traumatic experiences. It reinforces the idea that we Americans don't want anyone to know that we've gone through some kind of trauma because visible scars, especially the ones that are on our face, are not accepted by society. They don't want to look at the remnant of something that happened to you. They don't want to have to say, whoa, what happened to you? You know, was it an accident? Okay. This morning, we're going to, one by one, talk about your scars. I'm going to have people stand up, and if you want to show your scars, that would be, if it's proper, if the scar is in, nobody's standing yet. So I'll go first. Some years ago, and some of you have heard this, and if not, you can take your little nap right now. Some years ago, as I was minding my own business, thinking on those things that are just and lovely and of a good report, suddenly my wife's dog bit me in the face and literally took out, and I assume swallowed, part of my face about the size of a half a dollar. It was exciting, folks. She rushed me to the hospital. That dog, by the way, is in purgatory right now. And while I was in the emergency with this great big hole in my face, there was a plastic surgeon that was there because there was a young boy who was in an auto accident and he was fixing. And so he came in, you know, he says, I can take care of that. He did some things, and I'm glad I didn't see it, but there were a number of stitches, and here I am. My wife says, I look better now than before. And if you really look close, there is a scar. It's a reminder of that traumatic event, you know. And about a year later, I don't even know why we kept that dog, but a year later, the dog, it was a Springer Spaniel, was at the back door barking and screaming, you know, that it wanted to get out. In the back of our yard, we have a cliff down to a creek. It's about 12 feet down. And there were some kids that were in the trees behind that. The dog saw them, and the dog ran out, you know, and as he got to the cliff, he didn't realize, you know, the cliff was there. So there he is hanging at the edge of the cliff like this before he'd fall over. And my wife was saying, go out and help the dog. At that point, I knew that God really loved me. So I went out there, and by the time I got there, the dog had fallen off the cliff, trying to figure out a way to get up. And, you know, I'm coming home from work, and I got a suit on and Ellen Edmund shoes, and I'm walking along the cliff, and the cliff gives way, and I fall headfirst into the water of that. See, now that scar is an emotional scar. Glory to God. Amen. So we all have situations. I've had a couple of operations, and I'm not going to show you the scars from those operations. When I was in high school as a teenager, I got in an argument with a guy in the locker room, and as a result, I know it's hard to believe that I, your pastor, the wonderful guy I am, that would get into a fist fight with anybody, but I did, and as a result, I have a scar on my hand. And when I reported for the Army draft, they cataloged that scar just so later on they could identify who I was. This will preach. Because we identify. I bear the marks of the high calling of God on my body. Those are my kids because they've gone through, they've got some marks on them. They went through things that they didn't understand why they were going through it, but yet they were still faithful and I can identify with them. But my worst scars are those that you can't see. People who have hurt me, people who have let me down, people who I have sacrificed for and struggled for, and then one day they just, I'm out of here, I don't care. And there is only one specialist that can remove those scars, and his name is Jesus. He can remove the scars and the hurt in one session, in one service, without pain. And you can forget about them, and nobody will know about them. Even a lifetime of scarring and hurt, unless you want to keep that for sad references, to be labeled a victim. Oh, how bad it is for me because I had to go through that. No, instead of that, you should rejoice that God took you through it, you see, and that you have some marks of ownership in your life. I wish I could remove all of that kind of thing, and God is able to, but he's saying, no, these things are important in your life. I have scars for you. Do you have some scars because of me? You might think that nobody sees the scars on the inside, but they do. The joy is gone. There's no positive attitude about the church or God. Everything is bad, you know, because of the scars that we can't see. But they show up on the outside. They really do. And our relationship with God and our relationship with the church is hindered because those scars that have happened. Somebody let you down. Something didn't happen the way you thought God would. You were sick and you didn't know why you were sick. There was a loss in your life, and you don't know why that happened. And if we will live for Christ, we too will bear those marks. It's not an option. They're marks of ownership so we can be identified by Christ in the future. Turn to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, please. First Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. Beloved, think not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. He's talking to people who are in the church, people who have been faithful. And they're saying, Pastor Paul, what's going on here? Why are these things happening? Don't think it's strange. You know, all of the apostles, with the exception of John, died horrible deaths. Why? Because they weren't living for God? But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of God, of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. There's going to be joy in heaven because what I've gone through, I've suffered for Christ. And there's a reward. Scars. We all have them. Some of you see the scars on a regular basis. Others you can't. Some are flesh wounds. Others are deeply embedded in our heart, mind, and our spirit. And we can allow those scars to take us down. because we don't understand why this trauma happened to us. I know one thing for sure, that if you're living on this planet and you're living for God, you have experienced some kind of pain that has left you broken, bleeding, and hurting for at least a time. There's a season for everything. This has been a most difficult or the worst year that I can ever remember in the church. Sickness, loss, separation, people who are afraid of things. And God says, fear not, fear not. Fear can grip you to the point where you lose your faith in God. And now all of your security is in what you can do rather than what God can do for you. My heart breaks for people in the church who have been suffering in so many different ways. Yesterday morning, as we prayed for Sister Ashley and Brother Portman, there was a power of God that was in here. There was a move of God, tears that were streaming down. You know, who benefits by us praying for somebody else? What happens to us because we're praying for somebody else? The Bible says in James, the fifth chapter, that we're healed because we're praying for somebody else. Take them to your room. But some of my deepest scars are from people who I've loved the most and have abandoned. Perhaps those were Paul's deepest scars, and we know he lost a lot of his sight, but not the sight of the important things in life. Was he disappointed? He said, have I become your enemy because I tell you truth? Jesus had people walking away because of hard things that he said. Do you think that that was just as painful as the cross because he loved somebody that left him? Do you think he still feels that way when somebody leaves Apostolic Faith Church because they don't think this thing is necessary or you can find an easier way? Did our God find an easier way than going to the cross? Were there scars in his hand and his side because he loved us so much? There's scars of ownership of us. And when we reflect on our own scars, we should think of Paul, who suffered deeply for the cause of Christ. In my estimation, the greatest of all of the apostles in the Bible. So if you turn to 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, verse 21, he says, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, albeit whereinsoever any is bold. I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Hey, I've got credentials. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prison, more frequent in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by heathens, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and darkness. Boy, where do I sign up for this Christianity thing? Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, every day, the care of all of the churches. I can handle all of the scars on the outside, all of the ridicule, the misunderstandings. But the thing that hurts me the most is caring for people that I love and the problems that they have. His list of credentials: a Hebrew, an Israelite, seed of Abraham, minister of Christ, a Roman citizen, taught at the feet of Gamaliel, the greatest of all teachers. But then he lists what he went through to be a minister of Christ, in stripes above measure, in prison, the threat of death often, 5 times, received 40 stripes, save one, beaten with a rod, stoned 3 times, shipwrecked, day and a night in the deep, in peril of robbers, and hungry, and thirsty, and cold. And then verse 28, besides those things that are without, those that cometh upon me daily, the care of the church. I'm my brother's keeper. The care of each other should be paramount in our lives. His greatest pressure was the care of people he loved, which every day he had problems. Verse 30 said he would boast in the things that showed his weakness and then give praise to God. Can I tell you about my sufferings? Thank you, Jesus. He took me through this. Took me through this, Sister Smith. Took me through this. Through the breast cancer, through the heart problems, through the family crisis, through the divorce, through the loss of a loved one. He took me through this. And I'm worshiping God because I'm here with scarred hands that are raised to God and saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. Perhaps God allows the scars of the past to remain so we can give him the praise for bringing us out. I've baptized over 2,000 men in Jesus' name at the Racine Correctional Prison. Most of them, when they're baptized, they wear gym shorts and no shirts. They don't have robes for them there. And I've seen every kind of scar that you can possibly imagine on men who have been in prison. Bullet holes, you know, some with several bullet hole scars in them, and stab wounds that are healed up. One man had a name carved in his chest. I've wept thinking what kind of life they have lived. But then I started to rejoice. Some of those guys, Brother Bear and Brother Moran, had to help me bring up their huge guys, bring them up out of the water with their scarred, ridden bodies, with tears streaming down their face, thanking God that they're in prison. Oh, hallelujah. Scars. I feel with every difficult situation I've ever faced in the church, I've had names carved in me, the marks of the Lord Jesus. They're scars of ownership. What God is saying is, you know, I see a lot of tattoos today, the people who are identifying with, but we have enough scars on us, emotionally, physically, but they identify us with Jesus. Because he's gone through those same things. Maybe instead of trying to cover up or remove the scars of the past, we should wear them as a badge of ownership. You know, the thing that helps us overcome is our testimony. And we have testimonies of what God has brought us through, folks. We have testimonies after this year of what God, I've gone through this COVID. My wife has gone. Most of you have gone through something like this. And your life has been turned upside down. And yet, here you are worshiping God, the power and the presence of God that was in this song service, because God knows. Paul embraced the pain and turned it around into something beautiful. Amen. So, couple more scriptures. If you go to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, I've preached from this chapter so many times. It really is special to me, and I believe it's special to most of us because of what we have gone through in order to establish. I'm not leaving. I'm like a tree planted by the water. Yeah, someone's disappointed. Somebody's been rude. Somebody didn't allow me to have a position. Somebody, you name it, it's happened to you. But nevertheless, I'm not going to be moved. I know what I have to look forward to. If God would just pull back the curtain, let us see a little bit of heaven, it wouldn't matter. They say that Paul ran to the chopping block because I'm out of here, folks. I don't know what happened with the apostles, you know, crucified, filleted alive, hanged, dragged. But what was their attitude? It's the last time you're going to do this to me, folks. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ." He's talking about himself. "About 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven." You know, if Paul had access, could we have access? "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught or lifted up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my," what? "Infirmities, I'm going to glory about the weaknesses I've had, what I've gone through. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Ever pray, "God, could you just take this thing from me? Could you just save my kids, God? What about my mother? What about my father? What about this situation I have at work? Could you just..." Verse 9, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for..." "My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities," my weakness. Why? "That the power of Christ may rest upon me." Gone through something? You have access to the power of God more than those who've had this perfect year, perfect life. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." Someone here has probably gone through some operations this year. didn't understand it. No, you know what bothers us is we know that the power of God could take care of all of our problems at any time. We have enough faith to believe it, and he doesn't, because my grace is sufficient for you. For when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. Someone came up to me about a week ago and said, Pastor, I just don't know why I am going through this. I don't understand it. I've got to have this thing taken care of. I don't know if I can endure much more. I've said those words, and maybe you have. And here's a scripture I went to, 1 Corinthians 10. In verse number 12, it says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He never puts us in a corner. He never puts us in a situation that there isn't an exit. There isn't a way. Someone texted me a week ago and said, you know, I finally got an opportunity to a full-time job. And it's from, well, a Monday to Monday, and of course I won't be able to get to church on Sunday. And I said, you really think that God's excited about that? You know, I you know, when people come up to me and say, you know, here's what I'm thinking, and sometimes they really want me to answer them, sometimes they don't. They just tell me what they're going to do. And then when I say, "Not this isn't a good situation," well, sometimes I'm not their best friend for a while. But this morning, that same person came to me and said, "I did what you said, and now I got a full-time job Monday through Friday in a better situation for me." Hallelujah. It's always got something better for us if we'll do what's right. Our last scripture, 2 Peter. If our musicians would come. 2 Peter 2 and 9. You believe everything that's in the Bible? Yeah. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. He knows how to deliver you. If we don't give up on ourselves, we've got some situations that we have to go through, but God will never forsake us. Or even David said, you know, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the Lord forsake me. I've never had to beg for bread. I've always had enough to eat. And that is true in 2021. How in the world are we still here in 2021, folks? I thought in the 80s, we're going any second, you know? But here we are, and God has taken care of us through thick and thin, through problems, through sickness, through attacks. He's always been there. I've got a few marks, and they're almost badges of, greatness as far as I'm concerned. He'll never, ever let you down. He will always make a way of escape if we continue to be faithful for him. If not, where do we go? Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Those of you who want to see the scar on my face later, glory to God. We now have a dog. I could step on her head, punch her in the belly, and she would smile, you know. There's different kinds of dogs, and I guess there's different kinds of people as well. But I'm so glad that I don't have to approach our God on a day that he's having a bad day. He is always merciful and open for each of us. The altar is open. Would you come?